Daydreaming about dragons. Someone brought up the you all meet in a tavern D&D trope. And I thought, how would I spin a fresh coat of paint on that? And this is how. We're using some new techniques, some old techniques, some stuff I've gleaned from friends. This is how I would start a D&D campaign where you all meet in a tavern. Ready? It's the old trope. It's kind of tired, but we can do it, and it can be fun. Here we go. We're going to start with the characters, and we're going to ask them how they got here, right? Kind of easy. So you can add, if people look at you with a blank stare when you say this, you can add as much as you need to so that they have to make up as little as possible, right? So you can say, what got you here? Some people will run with that. Some people will grip their table and look nervous. If you see that behavior, just give more detail, right? Say, hey, when you got out of the Tomb of the Iron Lich, what did you get out with? How did it go? You know, give them something evocative to sink their teeth into and so they can give you more details. It doesn't have to be the Tomb of the Iron Lich. It can be, you know, when you robbed the wizard, you know, why are you worried that they might know it was you? Just give some details. Create something. If you know, when you robbed the wizard's tower back in the city you called home. Number one, why did you feel justified doing so? And number two, what did you get out with? Who did you sell it to? Right? As soon as you start, just give them evocative details to dig into. I don't know if my character would steal from a wizard, but I would definitely maybe have stolen from the local, you know, the local church. Oh, interesting. Why is that? And now you're talking and now you're making characters. So I think the first thing you want to do is go with what got you there. And in a perfect, perfect world, you told the players, hey, you're going to be starting in a tavern. Make characters who are starting in a tavern, who are down to their last coin from their previous adventure and need another delve. They need another adventure to get rich. And just start right there. If someone looks at you with a blank stare, give them more cool details. All right, we've got the characters started. They're not done. They're not fully cooked. They won't be fully cooked until we play. That's fine. Let's just get them started. Now let's paint the scene. An old technique that I have pillaged ruthlessly, inspired by Jason Cordova. Gaming with him has been a real eye-opener, and I really like gaming with people who I can learn from, and I definitely learn from Jason every time I game with him. So he does this thing called paint the scene. I'm going to try to estimate my version of it. If I can find the link on the Gauntlet blog about how Paint the Scene works, I will put a link in the show notes. So look for it. How it works. So I want to flesh out the tavern just a touch. Not too much, but just a little bit. So I would go around to each player and say, why did your character choose this tavern? What had you heard about this tavern that made this the one you wanted to go and spend the money from your last adventure? Why did you want to come here? And you're going to get cool answers, right? You're going to get stuff like, I heard that this place had the best lamb stew. You're going to hear stuff like, this was the family pub that I went to when I was a kid. And I do it out of honoring my family who are all lost or all moved away or something. We're all, you know, scattered to the winds. My hero used to come here. So I come here because, you know, there's some carvings on the bar that are still there from my old adventuring hero who I knew came here. You're going to get all kinds of stuff. I heard the beer was cheap, and it doesn't all have to be true. It's just rumors, but it fleshes stuff out. So flesh out the tavern a little bit. It has the comfiest hearth. The best bards come here. And I know it sounds weird, but who has the best lamb stew was like a whole subplot of my Trophy Gold campaign. Everywhere they went, they would try the lamb stew and be like, is it better than the lamb stew from home? It became a whole thing. And little fun, goofy details like that are just great. They're gold. They make places feel real. So get the details from your players. Again, if they look at you like, you know, an animal caught in the headlights, give them some more details about the tavern so that they have something to latch onto. Hey, you know, who is your favorite bard who performed here? You know, what ballad did you love to hear? Give them a little bit more details and let them just make it up. And if, you know, if someone is hesitant, then give them a little bit more evocative stuff to play with, and hopefully they'll get there. And if they don't, if they can't answer every question, that's okay. That's all right. The other thing you can do with folks who don't like to be put on the spot is the week before the adventure, you can say, this is not homework, but these are the questions I'm going to be asking. These are some of the questions I'm going to be asking in the coming game. So you might want to daydream about them a little bit and marinate a little bit. You don't have to have an answer. You don't have to reply with a novel, but think about it. Daydream a little bit, right? Hence the title. All right. Now let's go back to the characters for just a second. We're going to circle back. I like to say things like, what have the other characters noticed about you during their time? You know, you've all been here for days, weeks, maybe months partying. What have they noticed about you? You know, the other characters would notice that I party with abandon. I party as if I'm trying to end my life. Like it is self-destructive partying. Cool. That's a good thing to know. Interesting. You know, the players might have noticed that at the end of when the sun goes down, I go outside and sing a sad ancient song to the stars. All right there. All right there, Tolkien elf. I see you. Very good. Very good. You know, my players might notice that I cry about a heartbreak that happened from back at home. Okay, barbarian with a soft, mushy inner side. I like it. I dig it. And that's the kind of stuff you want. And it could be anything. It doesn't have to be even that evocative. It could just be they might notice that I'm very stern until I've had a few drinks. Cool. This is just to get folks loosened up and give other folks an idea of what their character is like. You know, just to ease everybody into this. All of these questions are essentially warm up. All right. Ready for the main event? This is a technique I stole from John Harper. I'm calling it the Four Directions technique, the John Harper Four Directions technique. It is really good. I really love it. Here we go. So here's how I learned that John Harper likes to start D&D games. Dig this. You have four directions, and you say to the players, where do you want to go? Do you want to go north and raid the catacombs of the Ice Vampires? Do you want to go south and raid the step pyramids of the Serpent Folk? Do you want to go west and rob the forts of the Crystal Lich? Do you want to go east and see what you can get from the Viking ghouls who raid the islands to the east and have been doing so for centuries? So you as the GM just need four cool ideas. So maybe four maps, or maybe this is part of your session zero. So you don't have any prep. You prep four cool ideas. You have four cool ideas that you have. And then after session zero, you go home and prep. You got it? So that's it. That is all. You don't have a whole campaign. You just have four cool ideas. And then everywhere they go, you have four more directions. And so you have four more cool ideas until it adds up and adds up and adds up. And there's so much content, you can't even believe it. And it really will mount up like that. Thank you, John, for sharing that with me. I appreciate it. I thought it was a good thing to add to this tavern trope. And let's just put this all together a little bit. Why are these the things I would do for you all starting a tavern? So what I am doing with these techniques, essentially, is the old apocalypse world deal. Ask questions and use the answers. It's a great technique. It's something that people have been doing for ages, but you know, naming the tool in the toolbox has helped me find that tool when I need it. And so the Baker's naming that, you know, ask questions, use the answers, has been incredibly helpful for me and my GMing and my, you know, ability to use techniques quickly and get them out onto the table. And that's what I've done. That's what I've used to make this trope go, right? I'm not using "you all meet in a tavern" as a dismissive thing, that because I don't really want to think about the start of the campaign. I'm using it as a foundation to build off of. And then the rest of the way is through asking characters questions, giving evocative answers, giving evocative questions when the players aren't quite ready to just make stuff up, and building from there, you know, taking a lot of notes. This would be a great way to dig into a session zero, other than talking about, you know, lines and veils and things you want to see, things you don't want to see, stars and wishes, however you want to put it, do's and don'ts, however you want to phrase it. This is a great other way to get the players all on the same vibe and the same page. Right? They've got a little bit of background with each other through having met at this tavern, but it's a little bit like a shallow summer camp thing. And now through the adventure, now we're really going to start building, you know, relationships. Now things are going to get really real. And that's how I would do it. That's how I would take this trope seriously. And in a way that, you know, it can be an evocative trope. Everybody meeting in a bar to go on adventures is actually kind of damn fun. So take it seriously, build, and see what happens. If you have used this trope, I would love to hear about it. I would love to. So I will have how to get in touch with me in the outro, and I will have some bits in the show notes, and we will get to Inspiration Go. Here we go. The Scar by China Mayville. Good one. Inspiration Goat. As the Inspiration Goat knows, and as some of you may know, this is my favorite book. And I'm not going to describe it. I'm not going to give a review. I want to talk about one scene and how we can use it at our game table, or how I think we might be able to use it at our game table. Let's dig. So there's a scene in the book where a character is walking along a beach, and it's this kind of rusted red beach with machinery everywhere. And they realize that the grains of sand are not in fact grains of sand, but are tiny, tiny gears and machine parts. Trillions of them. So many that it's like sand on a beach. Maybe it is because I grew up, you know, a mile away from the beach on the Jersey Shore. That could be it. You know, it's so evocative to me. And it begs all of these questions about the past and the setting. Who made these machines? What machine did these gears fall off of? How did they get here? What happened to that civilization? What did those machines do? How did they build it this small? It's beautiful. Just asks a lot of questions. And yeah, it's just great stuff. Great stuff. So those are the kind of details I want in my game. I'm not saying every little thing I make up in the game has to be that evocative. I'm saying having evocative details like that in your pocket, things that make the players ask questions about the world, not only bring people in and get them excited about the game, but they can sometimes turn the whole campaign on their head, right? And a detail like that can get someone so into it and so curious that they just spin off into a whole new direction. And I know that there are memes about GMs who are frustrated because the players, you know, run off after each shiny thing. But when I see stuff like that, I'm like, hey, you're upset because the players are interested in something? Yeah, that's a problem. I'm not saying I want people who I game with to run after every new shiny thing, you know, like squirrels, but or like a dog after squirrels or whatever it is. But I am saying it's cool. It's cool when players get interested and curious, and not every question has to be answered. So even just having those questions about the world makes the world feel more real, because our own world has tons of questions that we don't yet have answered. And that's awesome. That's fun stuff. Love it. Love it. What kind of evocative details do you have in your game? What lore? Here's a question I love asking players lately, or GMs lately. When I see them post something about their world on social media, I say, what is the coolest piece of lore the players have uncovered lately? And I love the answers. Love the answers, because it's not only like, hey, what did you make up at home alone? It's no. What did you uncover to your friends? What did you show them? What did they learn? What did they dig into and find? Love that question. Please use it. Get out there on social media and ask someone who is showing you a map of their world, what have the players uncovered about this world? That's your favorite little thing. That's a question I love asking lately. It's up there with what are you playing, right? Love it. What are the evocative details that you have in your world, and how have you unleashed them? How have the players uncovered them? What unforeseen directions did it lead the game into? I'd love to hear about that. And you can find out more about how you can tell me about that in the outro, which starts right about now. Thank you so much for listening to Daydreaming About Dragons. Let's talk about some ways you can support the show. You can leave a review on whatever podcasting app you are currently listening on. That is very helpful. If you are using one that doesn't have reviews, jump on over to iTunes and please leave a review. Stars are great, but even better are some words to let people know what they're getting into when they hit play on Daydreaming About Dragons. You can buy my book, Dictionary of Moo. That's a fun one. You can hire me. Do you want to GM with me? Is one of these techniques not making a lot of sense to me, and you want to pay me to GM? I will absolutely GM for you. My link for startplaying.com is in the show notes. So hit it and request a game, and I will absolutely run a game, and you can see how one of these techniques work. I will absolutely and totally do that. So let me know, or if there's a game that you just would like to play, hit me up. I'm there. I'm available, you know, and I've got some time right now. So do it. I would love to game with you. And if you're like, does this mean me? It does. It means you, whoever you are listening. So click on the link and let's do that. Let's make that happen. There are other ways you can go onto the Anchor app and you can give me money, which is great. It's a nice way to show that you value the time I put into this. I appreciate it. It's not, you know, it all depends on where you are and what money means to you. You know, if you are worried about rent, then please don't do that. If money is no object and you are rolling in it through your professional prowess and hard work, all right, hit me up. I would love it. And I will thank you. We'll be back soon. If you would like to get in touch with me, that's another way to support the show. You can email me at judd.karlman. There will be links in the show notes. You can get me on Twitter at InspirationGoat for as long as that thing is up. You can hit me up on Mastodon, and those links will be in the show notes. All right? I'll talk to you soon. Have a good week.